some common ground, sheep and goats. This morning's reading isn't about common ground for sheep and goats, but sheep and goats are not all that different. They're pretty similar. They have hooves. They're herbivores. They live about the same time, 7 to 13 years in the wild. If you look at history books and history of the world type books, both sheep and goats are considered to be the first domesticated animal. I don't know how you can do that, but it's sort of like you really can't. They're so similar that they were domesticated around the same time, 10,000 years ago in Iran. They will thrive best in herds. They're from different species, but there have been instances of sheep-goat hybrids that have survived. Geneticists, they've produced a sheep-goat chimera, animals having cells from both sheep and goats, and they've also been called geep, for real. Yep. Both are considered clean animals by Jewish custom, and both make similar sounds. Bleating, E-A-T-I-N-G. And then sheep and goats are very different, too. Well, they are at least a little different. They have different tails. Goat tails are short. They're upturned. Sheep tails are longer, and they hang down. There's the beard thing. Male goats have beards. No sheep has a beard. And then there's curiosity. Goats are inquisitive, somewhat playful. Sheep just aren't. The symbols in today's reading, Matthew 25. By the way, Matthew 25 is it's a beautiful chapter. There's an entire network of people trying to live out what Jesus calls us to do, called the Matthew 25 network. And the sheep and the goats parable plays a big part in that. So in today's reading from Matthew 25, the end of the chapter, sheep and goats, they're very different. There's a big distinction drawn here. Goats represent those who claim to follow God yet ignore the needs of their neighbor. Goat. Sheep represent those who claim to follow God and live that claim unaware. You are my sheep. And of course, there are ideas, there are interpretations as to exactly who the sheep and the goats really are, who they represent. But this week, where we talk about sheep and the goats, let me do something a little different. Let's ask the question, it's in other places in the Bible. How are sheep and goats alike? We've got that similar part there. But how can knowing how sheep and goats are alike teach us about common ground? That's what we want to find. We want to find common ground. And one answer is that sheep and goats are both judged on how they treat the marginalized in society. That's common ground. Whether people are acting like sheep or goats in this parable. Whether people are hungry, sick, poor, in prison, both sheep and goats are judged based on how they treat the marginalized. I was hungry and you blamed the government. I was thirsty and you told me to wait. I was a stranger and you said, go back to where you belong, we don't want you here. I was naked, and you set up a commission to study the problem. I was sick, and you said, you shouldn't be. I was in prison, and you said, it's your fault. I was hungry. You fed your wallets. I was thirsty. You metered my water. I was a stranger. You set up refugee camps. I was naked. You felt sorry for me. I was sick, and you made me pay back my debt first. I was in prison, and you forgot about me. How else are the sheep and the goats alike? Sheep and goats, I know they're animals, but in this parable, acting like they do, the sheep, the goats. They have a choice. We have a choice. We have common ground. We all have choices. We can choose to be like the sheep in the parable, or we can be like the goats in the parable. It's not the only time in the Bible where we see choices presented to us. Way back in the book of Joshua, this is after the 40 years thing and all that, Joshua's near death. He said this, "Now therefore revere the Lord and serve him in sincerity and faithfulness. Put away the gods that your ancestors served beyond the river and in Egypt, and serve the Lord. Now, if you are unwilling to serve the Lord, choose this day whom you will serve, whether the gods your ancestors served in the region beyond the river, or the gods of the Amorites in whose land you are now living. But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." That's usually the part of the verse that we hear. "But as for me and my household, we will serve the Lord." Joshua had a choice. You've got a choice right now. Choose. Follow God or don't. We're people who feed the hungry, welcome the stranger, clothe the naked, care for the sick, and visit those in prison. We reach out to others, and it's not because we're trying to earn something. See, we're people that do that because it's part of our DNA as followers of Christ. And right now, maybe a few of you are thinking, okay, that's DNA of Christians, but what about folks who aren't Christian? What about folks who are Muslim? Buddhist, Hindu? Well, this parable was not written to folks who are Muslim, Buddhist, Hindu. It's not about the four spiritual laws. And nowhere is there anything written about saying a particular prayer or having Jesus as personal savior in this part here. It's about how we care for the marginalized, the outcast. And all of humanity, whatever religion, no religion, can recognize the need, the necessity of caring for the least of these. So what about if you are this, you are this, you are this? Throw the religion part out. How about just this? All of humanity can understand the need to care for the least of these. Common ground. Doesn't matter what religion you are, to have common ground. But here we are, Christians serving God. We are living out Jesus' call to care for the least of these. So maybe we could over the top celebrate sheep and goats, the sheep part. Okay, maybe the sheep part. We can recognize the need. And what if that description of the sheep was, "I was hungry and you had a banquet in my honor. I was a stranger and you introduced me to all of your friends. I was naked and you took me on a shopping spree. I was sick and you made me chicken soup," because chicken soup is magic. Unless you don't eat animal things, then vegetable soup is magic. "I was in prison, and you told me that God loves me no matter what." I'm sure you can think of other things. "I was hungry, and you fill in the blank. I was a stranger, fill in the blank. I was naked, fill in the blank. Sick, fill in the blank. I was in prison, fill in the blank. Do something." I think, or at least I hope, that we all have a desire to serve our brothers, our sisters. We all probably fail at doing it a lot. Probably fail without even realizing it. Maybe we fail with realizing it. But how do we get to a place where we are serving our brother and sister without realizing? Where it is part of our DNA and we're just doing it. Well, we have to practice, right? We have to do it while we realize it. Not realizing it and patting ourselves on the back, but planning and realizing it, then repeating it so that it becomes something natural that just flows from us. And if we repeat doing the right thing enough, eventually we're going to do it without thinking. And at that point, we'll become unaware that we're even doing it. And then we'll say, "When did we this? When did we that?" Like Jesus and the sheep here. Although it's not so simple, is knowing exactly what the right thing is. We don't always say the right thing. We don't always do the right thing, even if we're trying to say and do the right thing. It's not so simple to find common ground, because the right thing for me may not be the right thing for you. We don't agree on what it means to care for the least of these. We have opinions on what it means to help a brother or sister. We have opinions on what it means to use our time and money wisely. We have opinions on how Jesus would have us respond in situations. I don't pretend to have the only or even most correct opinion on matters like that. But let me offer just this little bit. Whatever your belief system, make a commitment to serve a brother or a sister in a tangible, significant way over the next month. I don't know what that is, but find something, a significant, tangible way to serve someone you know, you don't know, I don't know. And then make a commitment after that month to do it for another month. You know, the season of Advent, as it comes up in December, that's a great time to do it, and people tend to be more generous around this time, except when they're shopping yesterday or Friday. Anybody go out, do a Friday thing? Was it fun?
It was great.
It was great? No people there?
All night, no people.
All night. My son went to IKEA, and he said it was just like a normal Tuesday there. Crowded, but not so crowded. Whatever your belief system, whatever details you are going to be carrying out, whatever your schedule is like, at least one person, tangible, significant way to help serve that brother or sister. 1 month, then another month, then maybe do it for 6 months straight, and then do it for 6 months straight, and then do it for 6 months straight. Live out love. On this Christ the King, reign of Christ Sunday, let love reign. Amen.